Well, it's a joy to be back. Amen. Thank you all for letting us come. And we have thoroughly enjoyed ourselves and being here. Amen. And I don't know much more to say about the home other than we have it. Amen. So if you've got somebody who needs to come, it's a drug addiction home, you know, alcohol, drugs, but homeless, if they don't have a place to stay, that's what we're all about. So we just want to help people getting out of prison, don't have a place to go. There are people in prison can't get out because they don't have an address to go to. And so we have, give them an address, let them come to us, amen, try to help them, amen. And we just honored it. Of all of y'all that's helped us, so many in this room has helped us with that ministry, and we thank you for it. That's about all I know to say about that. Amen. But thank y'all for your support in that, because we sure couldn't do it without your support, that's for sure. I'm telling you, just about every man, this is the truth now, just about every man, I think I can say honestly, just about every man that comes there, and I'm not saying this to be funny, gains about 30 or 40 pounds. Yeah. That's the truth. I don't know what that's got to do with what I'm saying, but I guess they're hungry. Amen. So guess that's what it means, amen. But their lives are so messed up, I'm telling you. We literally have got men to eat out of trash cans. Yeah. Behind Hardee's, behind some fast food place. We've gotten preachers. We've had preachers come to our home. I'm talking about men that pastor churches have come to our home. I'm talking about missionaries have come now. I'm talking about missionaries that have been on the field and done great works for God. I'm not exaggerating when I say that. Missionaries have come to our home. As a matter of fact, we had one missionary come and we kind of sit him on the front row. Amen. Because we was kind of scared to mingle him in the congregation. Amen. And we sit him on the front row. And we walked in one Sunday morning. Our people did. And we had a missionary there that we supported. Now, you didn't get me to tell all this, but we had a missionary there that we supported. And so everybody walked in that morning and said, "Oh, brother, the preacher didn't tell us you was coming. We're so glad to have you." He wasn't there to tell his work. He was in the home. That's a heartbreak now, isn't it? And so anyway, you never know. And I try to tell our people all the time, I say, listen, don't look at the front row. Don't you look down on them people. I preach this all the time, Brother Stephen. Don't you look at the front row and judge them. If you got a child or you got a grandchild, you better pray for them because you do not know where they're going to end up. So preachers end up there. We've had a man pastor the church. Amen. And this is the truth. A lot of them are there. And I'm not justifying their sin, but a lot of them are there because they didn't get put on illegal medicine. They got put on legal medicine. We had one man that was in our home, fell and broke his back. He was a pastor. I won't tell you where from. Not that matters. But he fell and broke his back. They put him on legal drugs, and he got addicted, lost his wife, lost his family, and lost his church. So you never know where you're going to end up. Amen. I didn't want to preach that. I'm not preaching that. Amen. But he said, tell you about the home. I'm trying to tell you about the home. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, I agree with Brother Gene. Now, this Brother Robert Jarvis is one tremendous fellow to be around. I am telling you. Always encouraging, always saying great things. And you can tell that in the church. Thank you all for everything. The motel room. Thank you for everything. So nice over there. I started not to come to church. Amen. Praise the Lord. But anyway, thank you for the food, the fellowship, and everything we've enjoyed. And thank you all for the great preaching. Amen. I could not make it without your preaching. I take your outlines. I take them back home. Amen. Keeps me in the ministry. Amen. You said, preacher, would you use another man's outlines? You don't even ask me that. I'm like Brother Banks. I change your red birds into blue birds. Amen. That's what he says about it. Amen. I read this the other day, amen, a little note said, if you don't have goals in your life, you will never be able to tell if you failed. That's pretty good, eh? I like this one better. The best way to get back on your feet is to miss 2 car payments. You better enjoy that. That's the best point I got. I got one a little bit better than that, a little bit better than that. A preacher was preaching on everything give thanks. So he preached that, had a good member of his church, had an awful sore throat. And he come up to the pastor, he said, "Pastor, my throat is killing me." He said, "You preached on everything give thanks, and my throat is killing me. I mean, it's so bad, I shouldn't be in church this morning." He said, "What in the world could I give thanks for over having a sore throat?" He said, "Thank God you're not a giraffe." Oh, Lord have mercy, that's good. Not because I told it, but I heard it somewhere, amen. Well, we had a little meeting ourselves this weekend, and a preacher got up to preach, and he said, "I want you to turn to John chapter 3. And he said, "I'm worried about preaching on a familiar text because everybody knows it, and I understood where he's coming from. So I want you to turn tonight to John chapter 14. Amen. John chapter 14. And this is not a funeral. Amen. I very seldom when I preach a funeral I use this text because everybody does. Amen. You know it's got rooms and you know many rooms. You know the story. When you preach with other preachers, amen. In my father's house are many rooms, amen. Y'all know the story. But let's stand tonight if you're physically able to stand. Thank y'all for the great singing tonight. Choir did great. A special singing was great. Amen. And I know this is a very familiar text. Amen. But the Lord put it in my heart to preach tonight. When I knew it was coming to Brother Jarvis, the Lord put it in my heart tonight. Amen. I'm sure some of y'all have heard me preach it before. If not, act like you didn't. Amen. Verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go you know, and the way you know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now I want to try to preach on this thought tonight, amen, about let not your heart be troubled. I want to preach on that thought tonight, amen. I guess what I really want to title it tonight is having troubles but not troubled. Having troubles but not troubled. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray now you'd help me tonight. I sure need your help. And I pray you'll touch me. Again, Lord, I'm not here to be an entertainer. I'm not here to try to make people put on a performance or make people laugh. I'm trying to hear God to relay a truth that I pray would find lodging in a heart, in my own heart. Lord, I need it. And so help us tonight as our prayer. Get glory to yourself. Certainly, if there be somebody here tonight not settled, not sure, yeah, God, tonight be the wonderful night they get saved and get it settled. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Let not your heart be troubled, amen. Let not your heart be troubled. I found this to be true in my own life. The doctor can help you with your physical heart, amen. I think most of you know, and again, I thank you for all the prayers. I sat down at supper time tonight, unbeknownst to me, and somebody was telling me about they've prayed for me in my trouble. I walked through the foyer today, and somebody that I didn't even know personally by recognition told me that while I was sick they had prayed for me and with my heart problems, amen. So I found this to be true, that the doctor can help you with your physical heart, amen. And I praise the Lord for that. My first heart attack, I've had 4, and my first heart attack was right in the middle of my message in Brother Wells' church, amen. Some 2001, I believe it was, and about 10 minutes into my message, I had a massive heart attack. I did not know what had happened. I was preaching. The church was packed that night. Amen. Must have thought one of y'all was coming to preach. Amen. But the church was packed that night. I remember that well. The singing was anointed. And I got up to preaching. About 10 minutes in my message, something stabbed me right in my chest. And I thought, well, my style of preaching, I thought maybe I'd pull a muscle. And so I kept on trying to preach. And I got weaker and weaker. Amen. And finally, I told Brother Wells, I said, "Brother Wells, I didn't come to tell y'all all this, amen." But I said, "Brother Wells, I think maybe I pulled a muscle or something. I'm not feeling good." So I went and sat down on the pulpit, and a lady in this church, I cannot remember her name, she was a nurse, she came over to me, and I said, "Sister, I think maybe I pulled a muscle." And she checked me, did some things, and she, being a nurse, said, "No, preacher, it's more serious than that." And so anyway, it was embarrassing. I am telling you, it was embarrassing. They had to roll the stretcher down the aisle, put me on the stretcher. Man, that was an embarrassing situation. My wife wasn't there, amen, yet. She was coming later in the week. And they rolled me out of there and took me over to the intensive care there in Newport. And the doctor walked in and he said, "Preacher, we've checked you. You're having a massive heart attack." And I never had a symptom of that, amen. Matter of fact, all 4 of my heart attacks, I've never had a symptom, amen. Hadn't had one tonight. Somebody help me. And he said, "You're having a massive heart attack." I said, "Man, you have got to be kidding." And he said, yeah, we can't handle you here at Newport. We got to get you to a better, more up-to-date facility, so to speak. And he said, where do you want to go? You want to go to Knoxville or you want to go to Johnson City? And I said, man, I don't know. I'm not from this part of the country. And by that time, Dr. Clarence Stanfield has hit my mind. And I said, that's up around Johnson City. Send me to Johnson City. And so when that helicopter landed on that pad, guess who was standing up there waiting on me? Amen. Dr. Clarence Stanfield. And he prayed me in, prayed me through, amen. I'm telling you, I believe it's the prayer of that great man of God, amen, who's in heaven now. But that doctor come in there and he said, we've got to get you out of here. And he said, we gotta fly you out. I said, Doc, you gotta be kidding. He said, we gotta fly you. It's that serious. It's life and death. He told me it's life and death. And he said, are you ready to fly? I said, oh yeah. I'm ready to fly, amen. I wasn't talking about no helicopter, amen. But I'm telling you, I found, and then after I was up there, I didn't come to tell this, amen. But they said, you can't go home. We want you to stay around a couple of weeks. So they put me in a motel. And one morning, my wife was reading devotions and just random in the Bible. And she was reading in Psalm 57. And she got down to verse number 8, and here's what it said. It says, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I said, oh, honey, don't read that no more. Amen. I'm just simply saying I found out the doctor can fix your physical heart. Amen. But it takes Jesus to work on your spiritual heart. Let not your heart be troubled. Salvation, and this has been somewhat the theme of the meeting, salvation does not deliver you from trouble. And we all know that, amen. Hey, Job had trouble. He had death in his family. Elijah had depression. John the Baptist had doubt. Amen. Hey, our friends and our families have disease and sickness, amen. I got ladies in my church right now, one lady and another man. They have a disease that only God can help them with. They drive 50 miles one way to church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, both of these families, 50 miles one way to church. You know, if I was the Lord, I'd get those next door that don't come at one time a week. Somebody help me. But it has two families, great, faithful, love God families, amen. And yet there, if something don't happen, something don't intervene, they'll be leaving this world soon. I'm telling you, brother, it seems like I really mean this. I've been preaching a little while like some of y'all. I've never seen a day of so much trouble. It seems like everywhere you turn is some tragic trouble, amen. Joy tonight sitting by his second wife, fixing to watch her go out into eternity. I called Brother Joey last Thursday, and me and him, he wept and sobbed on the phone as we conversed one with another. And I said, Brother Joey, I can't even comprehend one wife to have to marry one wife. But now if God don't intervene, here's your second wife that's going to go into eternity. I'm telling you, it seems like there's trouble everywhere. Brother Vaughn, we called Brother Vaughn, two grandchildren in one casket. Brother Balls, all y'all know about that. It just seems like here lately it's trouble, 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 trouble. My brother's son, who is a very successful businessman, took a pistol and put it to his head and took his life. And then me being his uncle, who he liked us, he would visit our church from time to time. And of course, when he took his life, we immediately run there. Long story short, I had to preach the funeral. And I'm telling you, Brother Ulrich, I stood in line I stood up four solid hours on the visitation greeting line with people coming through. He was known all over Waldorfer. The whole county knew him. And it took his life. I'm telling you, it seemed like there's trouble everywhere. You know what I preached on the funeral? I preached on suicide. I asked his mama, I said, Pastor, I said, do you mind if I use that subject? And I'm telling you, Brother Barrett, it's the truth. Only God knows, like that story tonight. Nothing to do with me. I had drunkards. I had drug addicts. I had people come by me and said, I've had those thoughts. You have helped me, preacher, with those thoughts. Hey, I'm telling you, friend. Hey, you know what I told him? I said, I'm telling you what. I know some good men took their life. Amen. I can tell you in the Bible, some good men said, Lord, I want to die. Amen and amen. I went and visited some of that family just last week, and I walked in, and there was a man standing there with a beer can in his hand. And he said, brother, he said, you the preacher that preached Ned's funeral. I said, what? I said, yes, sir. He said, I will never forget that message. He said, you helped me. I don't know how I helped him, but he said I helped him. Yeah. I'm telling you, there's trouble everywhere.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you what, God's using some trouble to get people saved.
Yes, sir.
Not many people's looking for God till trouble comes.
Right.
But God allows trouble. I'd rather have cancer and go to heaven, maybe go to heaven, than never have cancer and go to hell. Amen. There's trouble. But for the saints of God, He said, don't let your heart be troubled.
Amen.
Thank God tonight. Amen. If you'll see, look at chapter 13 real quick in verse number 2. And supper being ended, the devil having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Why did he say that in John 14? Let not your heart be troubled. Because they were confronting the devil in chapter 13. Notice this in verse 21. And when James has thus said, amen, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. There was discouragement in that chapter. There was a devil in that chapter. Look at verse 33. Little children, yet a little while I'm with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you. Hey, I'm going to tell you, he was talking about departure in that chapter. I mean, they had walked with this man. They had ministered with Jesus. And now Jesus said, I'm going to be leaving you. Can you imagine how they felt? He comes back, he said, don't let your heart be troubled.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. The devil's the devil's active. Discouragement's in the room. Departure's in the room. Look at verse 38. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him and said, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. There was denial in that room.
Yeah.
And Jesus comes back in chapter 14 and said, Hey, I know there's a lot of discouragement in this room. A lot of denial in this room. The devil's in this room. But don't let your heart be troubled.
Uh-huh.
Don't we all encounter that? And of course, the whole of the chapter, Jesus was going to die. I'm going to tell you, that was enough to discourage them. But he said, don't major on your trouble. Major on the Lord. Amen. Don't let your heart be troubled. Amen. Can I give you a few thoughts for a few minutes tonight to try to help us lift our troubles? Amen. Or lift our burdens? Number one, why? Why can we have troubles but not be troubled? Because there's a place. He said what? Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I'm going to prepare a place. What can help me with my trouble tonight? Now, I'm telling you, some of y'all younger people are not going to appreciate this like some of us older people. Thank God, in the midst of all this trouble, thank God I can get my focus on there's a place I'm going. I'm going to a land that there'll never, never, never be any more trouble. Hallelujah. Can I say this tonight? It's a real place. It's not a figment of our imagination. Out there somewhere beyond the stars. Amen. God is preparing a place. I read what John Philip said over there in Genesis 1:16. It said he made the stars also. He took five words to talk about these stars. I'm talking about stars more than the sand of the sea. And he said five words. God made the stars. Then he spent 50 chapters on the tabernacle. Amen. Five words on stars, amen. And 50 words on the tabernacle. 50 chapters on the tabernacle. Amen, amen. Hey, there's a star, if I'm pronouncing this correctly, called Antares. You can put 64 million suns in. And what did God say about that? He made the stars.
Yeah.
Anybody listening? Out there beyond the stars. Out there beyond the solar systems. Out there beyond the galaxies. The Milky Way galaxy is a peanut compared to the next galaxy on next to us. Amen. If I'm pronouncing this correctly, it's the Andromeda. Amen. 200 million light years away. Amen. And he made the stars. Out there beyond the quasars. I looked up quasars. Here's what it said. It's a German word. Means don't know. But thank God I do know. Out there beyond the quasars, in the third heaven, the abode of God, there's a place that God is preparing. Amen and amen. Hey, notice this is a real place. Listen to this. The furthest known celestial body is 1,400 billion light years away, and one light year is 6 trillion miles. I graduated from Cottageville High School, and I can't even figure that.
Yeah.
One light year is 6 trillion miles, and 1,400 billion light years is what? The furthest known celestial body, and God has gone beyond that to prepare us a place.
Amen.
Glory to God. Listen to this. In John 20, you know the story. I think it was Mary in the garden. He said, "Don't touch me. I have not yet ascended to my Father." And the Bible said a little bit later in that chapter, he was back for the night service. He put the blood on the mercy seat, amen, and got back for the night service. Somebody help me. How far do you live, amen? Anybody listening? I'm telling you, we're serving a great God, a great God. Hey, you got troubles, I got troubles, everybody got trouble, but we're going to a place that's prepared for us, amen. It's a real place. It's a royal place. He said it's the Father's house. Amen. He's going to prepare a place. Well, he's a carpenter.
Yeah.
Amen. He's built worlds. He's built nations. He's built churches. Or he's building a church. Heaven is referred to as a country. Heaven is referred to in Hebrews 11 as a country. That talks about the vastness of it. It's referred to as a city. That talks about the population of 1,500 miles cubed. That's just the city. Just the city. He's prepared.
Yeah.
Listen to this. It's referred to as a kingdom. 2 Peter 1:11. That talks about the order of it. But here he says, it's my Father's house.
Yes.
Amen and amen. Hey, I like riding in the country, but ain't nothing like the house. Is anybody listening?
Yeah.
A house is where you can relax.
Yeah.
A house is where you can get some rest.
Yeah.
A house is where the relatives are. Tells me you got to be in the family if you're going to the Father's house.
Amen.
Amen and amen. The only other place Jesus used the term the Father's house is in John chapter number 2. He said, "You've made the Father's house a den of thieves." That's the only other place I know that he used that same term. Amen. It is the Father's house. Amen. He did not say in my Father's mansions are rooms. He said in my Father's house are mansions. Amen and amen. And the Bible said in John chapter number 2 that he went in there and he saw the buying and the selling and the exchanging of money. And the Bible said he made a whip.
Yeah.
He made a scourge. That tells me he didn't just charge in there when he saw it.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, if he took time to plait a scourge, a whip, then he didn't just go right in there and run them out. He took some time. And I'm a pastor, you a pastor. Have you not know? He says the Father's house. Have you ever went to the Father's house and seen things in the Father's house make you mad?
Yeah.
Now I'm talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the one who did I'm talking about the perfect preacher. But when he saw that sin going on in the house of God, he said what? He said, thy zeal has eaten me up. His zeal for the house of God has eaten him up. We ain't getting a nibble. He said, his zeal for the house of God, it says, has eaten him up. Now I'm telling you, church, we are living in a day in the church age today. Now I'm going to tell you what, sin is abounding in the house of God. I mean, it's openly displayed. I am telling you, and I'm going to tell you, you ain't worth your soul if you a preacher, if you don't get up sometime, amen, and have whipped up a message. Somebody help me. Sometimes I'm just telling you, call me what you want. Sometimes I see what's going on in the house of God, I go whip me up a message. Now, I give them a little bit of time. I've got a point on that. I give them a little bit of time. Honestly, I do. Because I don't want to preach that. I think sometimes they think, well, y'all preachers want to preach. Like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't take no joy in having to preach hard. I've been accused of it. I take no joy in having to preach hard messages. But I'm telling you, friend, the house of God today, you go, you preach out a little bit, you'll find out what's going on in the house of God. Thank God for a choir that come down tonight that didn't look like a burlesque show. I say amen. Believe me, that is not going on everywhere. I'm preaching in churches now where they wear Bermudas in the choir. Independent Baptist. How did I get off on this? Talk about heaven and God on separation. I have what I'm saying. Sometimes you got any zeal about you at all for the house of God, you got to... And you know what? I've had this happen. I'm whipping it up and praying, God, I don't want to preach this. And you know what I found some truth sometimes? God takes care of it. Simply because I didn't charge in there like a bull in a china shop, and you prayed about it, and you ought not preach it until you pray about it, and you prayed about it. And God takes care. I like it when He does that. And I don't have to deal with it. But sometimes God deals with it, but they don't take care of it. That's a fact. Y'all may as well say amen. Dear God, I'm telling you, one, I won't even get into that. But I'm telling you, I don't know how long ago it was. I hope it was. It wasn't all that long, though. Dear God, I got to church one Sunday morning. I'm telling you what, the zeal got a hold of me. I'm going to blame it on zeal. Dear God, when I walk to the pulpit, you know I'm better off preaching better than giving announcements. Mm-hmm. Announcements will get you in trouble. I'm better off just to preach. I get in trouble in the announcements. I started preaching the announcements. Church is tonight at 6 o'clock. Church is 7:30 on Wednesday.
Amen.
Brother Gene, I'll tell you, after that Sunday morning, I am telling you, I went home. You know, we all the family goes to the house to eat done on Sunday. Amen. And I'm telling you, I couldn't even go in the house. I was so sick. I don't, whether in the spirit, out of the spirit, I don't know. I just know I got my whip out that Sunday. And I'm telling you, when I got home, I couldn't even go in the house. I said, Mama, y'all go ahead and eat. I am not in a position to eat. I am not in a position to be around anybody. But now you think you enjoy that?
No.
But it had to be dealt with.
Amen.
Could I tell you this? Could I tell you this, Brother Barry? Could I tell you that that situation got fixed like it's never been fixed before?
Amen.
It was an ongoing situation. But I'm going to tell you, I still don't, to this day, I don't know if I did right, but I do know this. God fixed the situation.
Amen.
Sometimes you just got to, come on, church. Hey, listen to me. Welcome back to church. Sometimes when your preacher walks in the pulpit and you say, dear God, what is he eating? Raisin soup? No! He's got a zeal for the house of God. Some things have to be corrected. That's what we have for, amen. I don't take pleasure in that. I don't enjoy that. I'd rather go to church and preach on heaven like I'm doing tonight. In my Father's house are many mansions. Anybody? Do you know in chapter 3, that was John 2? Could I tell you what happened in John 3? Does anybody want to tell me what happened in John 3? Nicodemus got saved.
Yes.
Nicodemus ain't never seen a preacher like that.
Yep, that's right.
That Sunday morning, I'm telling you the honest God's truth. That Sunday morning I did that, I said, I went home, got in the backyard, wouldn't go in. I said, man, we had visitors. They ain't never, you know they ain't never coming back. Could I tell you a man come to me? He was visiting, and I don't know that he's even right with God. He come to me, and this is what he told me. He said, and I ain't bragging on him. Y'all please don't. I ain't got to be. Y'all understand what I'm saying, right? He come to me, he said, preacher, all I've ever been raised in is loose, liberal churches. He said, thank God for a man of God that'll rear back and let him have it. I guess he enjoyed it because it wasn't him. Hey, I'm trying to tell you sometimes. Hey, you got to preach. Amen. 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 Hey, in my father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Amen. He didn't say. He notice this. Hey, on my 50th anniversary, my wife's 50th anniversary, the church got together and sent us to Washington, D.C., Brother Robbie. Now, you talk about country come to town. And they got us a room at Trump Hotel. Now, you talk about moving on up. Man, I'm telling you, we went to that place. Brother Gene, I didn't know how to run the elevator. You don't have to. The butler goes with you from the desk. The butler takes you up to your room. He's got the napkin over your own, Lord. And man, we went up. I forgot what floor we were on. We went up. You never seen such carpet. We went in the room. And man, it's got... I can't explain it to you. I can't explain it. And here, me and Lenore from St. Stephen. And we in the Trump Hotel. And the butler says, now, on this side, these items, you know, if you use them, they're free. But on this side, these items, if you use them, you have to pay for them. And so, you know, he leaves the room. Anything y'all need, just let me go. He walked out and slammed the door. I said, Lenore, whatever you do, don't get nothing off that side. I'm telling you, a bottle of water costs $10. You listen to me? I said, don't get nothing off that side. And preach, I went in there. I ain't trying to make y'all laugh. I'm trying to say, hey, we're going to a beautiful city. Hey, I went in the shower. I went into the shower in the bathroom. Everything's gold. Gold shower head, gold faucets, amen. But they're plated gold. I know that ain't real gold, but it looked like gold. But wait a minute, I'm going to heaven. That is pure gold. The streets are made of gold. What, you got any trouble tonight? One day our troubles will be over. The last message I ever heard Dr. Harold B. Sackler preach, and he preached it in Sumter, South Carolina, at a preacher's fellowship, and here's what he preached. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and he said, the Lord is coming, and you preachers leave here and go tell everybody, the Lord is coming. Amen. I'm trying to do what he told me. Amen and amen. Is everybody listening? Amen. Hey, listen to this. Listen to this. There is a place. There is a promise. Let not your heart be troubled. Why? In verse number 3, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I will come again. That's a promise. Amen. The Bible said in Titus chapter 2, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Both comings is in that. Phases of the coming. Blessed hope is the rapture. Glorious appearing is the revelation. Amen. In this dying, dangerous, demon-possessed day, thank God we got a promise. He's coming back to get us. Hey, He's coming in the rapture. And that's what John 14 is. It's the rapture. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is the rapture. 1 Corinthians 15 is the rapture. There is going to be a separation of church and state. Thank God. Hey, Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. And every eye shall see him. Revelation 19. And behold, I saw the heavens open and a white horse. There goes that horse again, Brother Barry. Matthew 24. One's going to be taken and the other's going to be left. Not taken in the rapture, taken in judgment. Amen and amen. All these views. Sometime a while back, a year or two ago, we studied on the second coming of the Lord, and we preached on the views of the pre-trib. We are pre-trib. We believe He's coming before the tribulation. There's the partial rapture. Oh, He's going to take only those that are right with God. How right would you have to be? I don't believe in the partial rapture. I believe in the trumpet sound, every blood-bought, born-again child of God is being snatched out of here. Hallelujah. Hey, I'll tell you where your sin will be taken care of, at the judgment seat of Christ. You won't get purged in the tribulation. You'll get purged at the judgment seat of Christ. The mid-trib, the pre-wrath, the post-trib. One preacher said he was so pre-trib, he didn't eat post-toasties. And he always eat his dessert first. Somebody help me. Here lies the body of Solomon. Peas under the grass and under the trees. Peas is not hair, only the pod. Peas are shelled out and went to God. Hallelujah. One day we'll be leaving. Amen. Praise God. I'm trying to tell you, listen here. There'll be a reception. The Bible said in verse number 3, I go to prepare a place. I'll come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven to shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. That's something we need to know. Amen. He said, don't let you, he said, brethren, don't be ignorant of this. You know, there needs to be an education about it. Now, I'll tell you, all of us sitting here tonight don't know how blessed we are, because we are aware there's going to be a rapture. Do you know most churches tonight don't even know what we're talking about when we say rapture? I got saved in a Pentecostal meeting, went back to the church I grew up in, was a Southern Baptist church, and I didn't know, I honestly didn't know nothing, don't know much now, know I'm saved, know I'm called to preach, know I'm married. I got them three things settled. Amen. But I heard something about a rapture. Brother Buster, I had no idea what that was. So I went to my pastor. I said, Pastor, I said, you know anything about the rapture? He said, I've heard about that, but I don't know much about that. I said, well, I heard something about it. I don't know what in all it involves. He said, well, if I was you, I wouldn't get too involved in that. So I went to the deacon. I said, Mr. Deacon, I said, and this was a moral man. I don't think he was saved because he said he had always been saved. And I said, you know anything about the rapture in the millennium? I heard the word millennium. And he said, in the millennium. He said, well, that millennium thing, he said, they talk about the devil being chained. I said, yeah, that's what I heard. He said, he's already chained. I said, the devil is already chained? And I'm talking about a new, brand new convert, Brother Steve. I said, the devil is already on a chain? I said, man, I don't know nothing about that. He said, yeah, he's already chained. And you know, this occurred to me. I went back to him. I said, you are right. He's chained to my leg. I never had trouble with the devil till I got saved. Is anybody listening? Man, I'm telling you, we are so blessed to sit in churches like, you know about the rapture, you know about the revelation, you know about the coming of the Lord. I'm telling you, most of them churches out there don't know what we're talking about. Thank God He's come. We need an education on that, amen. We need an anticipation. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. What you trying to say to us tonight, preacher? You got any trouble? I don't have no trouble that the rapture won't take care of. Amen. Thank God one day we'll be going. Hey, we're going to lose gravitation. Amen. We'll be caught up, seized, snatched out in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Thank God, I'm going to tell you, that could happen at any moment. Yeah, all the theologians I read after about that said ain't nothing got to happen. All the signs are for the 7 years later, the revelation. Nothing has to happen for the rapture. Praise God. I think we're sitting right on there. We were sitting around the table talking about it tonight. And the subject came up and they said this. Ever since God, Mr. Trump declared the nation of Israel and moved the capital, he said it has really set the thing in motion. Man, I'm telling you, praise God. I know y'all preachers know about that more than I do. I'd be willing to listen. Amen. I'm just simply saying we're going to lose gravitation. Amen. I read where a man was flying from the East Coast to the West Coast. He went to the agent. He said, ma'am, I need to catch a plane going out west. And she said, all right, let me get the ticket. And he gave him the ticket. He said, now what time is it leaving? She said, it is leaving at 9 a.m. And you're flying west. He said, all right, what does that mean? He said, what time will I get there? She said, you will get there at approximately 9 a.m. She said, now you want the ticket? He said, no, ma'am. I just want to watch it take off. I'm telling you, one day, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, woo, we'll be gone. I really believe that. Don't you believe that? Amen. In the twinkling of an eye. I've heard all kind of definitions about that. But let me tell you what, in common language, it's going to be quick, friend. Amen. There needs to be a consolation. Let not your heart be troubled about it. Hey, you got any trouble? But, you know, maybe you say, well, I don't have no trouble tonight. Could I tell you, before you get into bed tonight, a phone call can come. I live in that reality. Brother Robert, I live in the reality. How good it is now, but one phone call. I'm going to tell you, when Brother Williamson topped that hill the other day, he had no idea there was cars right on the other side of that hill. And now their whole life has been changed that quick. When Sister Susan went and got her diagnosis, I was talking to Brother Joy about it. I'm telling you, this thing has happened. It feels like it's happened overnight. I mean, from one minute, you're a little bit sick, to the next minute, you're going to pass away. We all sitting here tonight with trouble right around the corner. Now, I don't want to live in that reality. I every time I look over my shoulder, I see goodness and mercy. Because it said He's following me. But I'm tell you what, if you get real about it, it could happen to any of us tonight. Not only the trouble that's going on now, the trouble that could be down the road. Was it not Brother and Sister Caldwell that pulled out the parking lot just a few meetings ago, however how many, 4, 5, 6 years ago, pulled out the parking lot, I mean from this great meeting, and got in a wreck? I'm telling you, trouble is everywhere. But I am telling you, thank God one day, I'm telling you the Lord's come and trouble will be over. Some of y'all sitting here tonight sick in body. Your body hurts, amen. Thank God you're going to get a new body. I know that simplicity, but I'm just simply saying that's the reality of it, amen. He said don't let your heart be troubled. Matter of fact, I get some of you theologians explain this to me, but the Bible said in that text tonight, verse 13, that Jesus was troubled in spirit. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. But the Bible said He was troubled in spirit. Get some of you theologians to help me with that. The Bible said He was troubled in spirit, but He said, don't let your heart be troubled. Amen. Hey, there needs to be a consolation. There was some reservations. What was that? Here's what John said. He said, what? And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Thomas had some reservations about it. And Thomas wasn't always a doubter. About a little bit early in the chapter, he was very devoted. He said, let's go with Jesus even though we die. He was devoted. Amen. He had some doubts. Amen. But you know what I found out? Sometimes these questions, he said, what? Thomas saying, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Sometimes doubt can lead to good questions. If he'd have never had doubts and asked that question, we wouldn't have got verse number 6. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Sometimes doubts can give you some good answers. Amen and amen. I'm telling you some things I've doubted before. When I got it settled, I was more convinced of it after my doubt than I was before I doubted it. Sometimes doubt. I'll tell you, when I doubted my salvation after I got saved, and I did, I'm telling you, it caused me to really get it settled. I don't doubt my salvation no more. You well, that's true, preacher. You a preacher. No, it ain't got being a preacher ain't got nothing to do with it. Somebody help me. Amen. Hey, Thomas had some doubts. But I'll tell you, out of his doubt come direction. Hey, his doubts led to direction. Jesus said, I'm the way. Amen. He didn't say, I'm going to show you the way. He didn't say, I'm going to tell you the way. He said, I am the way. Thank God for that. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, He's not showing me, He's not telling me. Though He did that, thank God He is the way. How you going to get to heaven? Hey, I'm in Christ and He's in me. Years ago, I was preaching back to Bethel Camp Meeting up in Salisbury, North Carolina. And I come in a back way. I normally stay at the preacher's house, but I come in a back way. And so when I got to the campground, back to Bethel Campground, I preached that night after the service. Brother Ronnie Young, who was the moderator, I normally stay at his house, but I normally go to Ronnie's house another way. But I come into the campground a back way. I'm almost through. Y'all give me about 3 minutes. And so after the meeting that night, he said, now, Brother Willis, you know you're staying at the house, so go to the house. And we got the room prepared for it. I said, Brother Ronnie, you know I come in the back way, so I don't know the way from your house this way. He said, well, I'll tell you what you do, Brother Albert. Get in the car, pull out the campground, turn left. And then you go down the road about a mile and you turn right. And then you go about another 2 or 3 miles, cross some railroad tracks, turn right. And then he said, I said, oh man, oh, wait a minute. I said, man, I can't remember all them left, right. I can't remember all them terms. And I said, I would never get there without getting lost. He said, I'll tell you what I do, Brother Alfred. He said, I got Preston here. He's my son. He said, I'll put him in the car with you. Preston got in the car with me. Amen. We pulled out. Preston said, take a left, preacher. Took a left, went down there a mile or two. Take a right, preacher. Then go across the railroad tracks, take a right. You know where I ended up with Preston in the car with me? I ended up at the house. You know how I got there? I had the son. I had the preacher's son in the car with me. Hey, I'm telling you, about 45 years ago, I got in Jesus, and Jesus got in me, and I'm on my way. Thank God, thank God. Amen and amen. He said what? He said, I'm the way. I'm the truth. That's exclusive, dogmatic. Do you know, now listen to me, church, listen to me. And I know you know this. I know y'all know this. But I'm telling you, I've been studying a little bit lately. Do you know, we're now to the place that a lot of Baptists are saying, he's not necessarily the only way. Now that's a fact. Now I've been studying. They are saying there could be sincerity. Let me say this, and I promise you I'll be through. Do you know that Jesus is the only way? There is no other way to heaven. I was sitting on our ordination board. And I'm telling you, I don't know how I got there, Brother Gene. I could call Dr. Russell Rice, Dr. So-and-so, it was a bunch of doctors on the board ordaining this fella. And how I got there, I don't know. I guess they felt sorry for me. I guess where you got a bunch of doctors, you need a nurse. And the question was asked on the ordination council, does a man have to reject Jesus to be lost? And I am telling you, they discussed that. And I sure ain't smart. Y'all know that I ain't smart. Only reason I get to preach is because I preach different. I talk different. One preacher said, preacher, the only reason you get to preach that is you talk different. That's why you get to preach. That was fine with me. Here's what I said. No, a man don't have to reject Jesus to be lost. There's billions ain't never heard his name. How you going to reject somebody you never heard of? So, here's the conclusion I come to. Everybody don't have enough light to be saved. But everybody has got enough revelation to be damned. You know how I know? Here's what Revelation says. Revelation said you can know God through creation. You can know God through your conscience. But that ain't enough light to save you. You can't get saved by creation. Heaven declared the glory of God. That ain't enough light to save you, but that's enough light to show you there's a God. Hey, it says your conscience will tell you there's a God. But that is not enough light to get you saved. But if you don't respond to the light that God gives you, fact, you wouldn't respond to the light that God gives you for faith. Is anybody listening? Here's what I'm saying. Hey, no matter, I'm wrestling with this. I'm telling Brother Buster, you mean to tell me billions of people are going to die and go to hell who never heard the name of Jesus? That don't seem fair. Wait a minute. God will never be unfair.
That's right.
And here's what the Bible said. Jesus is the only way.
Right.
No matter how you feel about it.
Right.
I preached in the prison. We had a Muslim saved in the prison. I mean, he gloriously got saved in the prison. And when he got saved, I preached on being in Christ. And I was preaching, he come to the church, and I was preaching on being in Christ. And I said, Brother Jason, I said, when you was a Muslim, was you ever in Muhammad? He said, no. I said, was Muhammad ever in you? He said, no. I said, well, when you got saved, you got Christ in you, and you got in Christ.
Amen.
They don't have Muhammad in them, but we got Christ in us.
Amen.
There's a big difference, friend.
Yes, sir.
Praise God, praise God. What are you trying to say? I'm simply trying to say to us tonight, the only way you can get to heaven is Jesus. Now that is so elementary, that I don't even know why I'm preaching it. But I am telling you, and it's the truth. It's dogmatic. There is no other way. By the way, Brother Blaylock, if there's another way, don't go over there and obligate them people. If they're sincere in their religion to get them to heaven, let's don't obligate them. Man, we'd all save a bunch of money in our mission program if we didn't send missionaries out. If they go get to heaven through their sincerity or their religion, hey, I'm going to tell you what, but the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus. I know I'm preaching too long. I'm fixing to quit. Well, I'm tired. I am fixing to quit. Here's what I'm saying. He's the life. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. Jesus is the life. John talks about life. He is eternal life. He is abundant life. Hey, I'm not. Here's my brother. I told you about my. My nephew took his life. I've been praying for my brother, Brother Buster. I've been praying for my brother for 46 years. And my brother. I got to lead my brother to the Lord back in December.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Let me stop and tell that again. I've been praying for my brother 46 years. I got to lead my brother to the Lord. I fell on his chest and he wept and he cried. And he said, I said, wait a minute, Bubba. I said, I know you, Bubba. I was raised with you. I said, I remember when we would sit up around the fireplace, around the old potbelly stove, and you would outweigh me and I'd get in the bed and you would outweigh me and I'd get the bed warm because we didn't have central heat and central air. Is anybody listening?
Yeah.
I said, and he's 6'1", 6'2". I'm 5'6". And I said, I remember when you would outweigh me and let me get in the bed and get the place warm, and then you come push me out the way and take the warm place. I said, you're wicked. I said, Eddie, I'm going to tell you something there. When you go to call on the Lord, I ain't here just to get you to pray a prayer. You got to understand, you're wicked. I'm talking to my brother now, 6'1", 200 something pounds. Is anybody listening? I said, I want you to know you're wicked. He said, wait a minute. I said, you did this, you did this, you did this. You lie, you cuss, you sell bear. You No, I didn't tell him you sell bear. He does sell bear. I didn't hit that one. I said, but I won't tell you, you're wicked. And I started naming off things he done. He said, dear Lord, Alfred, you making me. I said, Eddie, listen to me now. You can never get saved if you don't see yourself wicked. I said, admit it. I'm telling you what I told my wife. I said, admit that you are wicked. I am wicked. I am wicked. And he prayed and asked God to save him. And after he got saved, 6 months later, his son took his life. And man, I'm telling you, brother, my brother won't even come up the room. He don't hardly come up the room no more. Well, in the process of this, I don't want to tell you all my whole family story, but in the process of my nephew getting taking his life, his wife got cancer. And tonight, she's on the verge of death. They got a 16-year-old boy and a 20-year-old boy. And his wife says there is no God. But he before he died, he brought her to church. And she come into church, and I sit on the front pew. This one says, I ain't even sure there is a God, but I know I don't like this church stuff. And Brother Stephen, she walked into church. I sit where you're sitting on the front row right there. And she walked up to me and tapped me on the shoulder. And I stood up and she said, Alfred, it's Rhonda. You thought I'd never come, would you? Did you? I said, Rhonda, I am so glad to see you in church. And man, I preached and we went to church. And she said, Alfred, you look like you would have a heart attack when you preach. Your face gets red. And I was worried about you. I said, praise God, sis, we're preaching the gospel. She got cancer. So my sister-in-law called me. When Mama, last Saturday, my sister-in-law called me and said, Alfred, you want to go by and see Rhonda? I said, well, if you think she's able. She said, yeah, I'm going to take you by there. I'm going to call and tell her you're coming to pray with her. So I went by there to see her. And Rhonda's sitting there with her two boys and her mama from Michigan. And Patsy, long story short, we talked a little bit. Long story short, she said, Patsy, my sister-in-law said, Rhonda, would you like Alfred to tell you about salvation and how you can be saved? She said, I sure would. And so she turned it over to me. And so I went through the plan of salvation with her. And I looked at her and I said, Rhonda, Now, all you heard, I'm not trying to get no profession. I'm just trying. All you heard, do you understand that? She said, I understand that. I said, do you want to get saved? She said, yes, I do.
Amen.
I can't believe it. I'm preaching and I can't believe it. You'd have to know this girl.
Right.
She said, yes, I would. I said, well, when would you want to get saved? She said, whenever you want me to. I said, no, wait a minute now. It ain't up to me. It's up to you. She said, well, can I do it tonight? I said, you can do it tonight. And I got down in front of her. Brother Buster, I got down with the Bible in front of her. I had a gospel track in my hand. And I went through the plan of salvation with her. And I said, now, Rhonda, you want to get saved? And she prayed and asked God to save her.
Amen.
I'm telling you, and I can't believe it.
Amen.
So I said, well, I wonder if it's real. Y'all ever had them doubts? Was it real? So I went a few days. We was riding down the road. And the phone rang. And Brother Gene, the phone rang. And Pastor Colin said, so-and-so just come by the house. And Rhonda told them that she got saved. I said, glory to God.
Amen.
She's going to heaven. She's on her deathbed now. Listen, brother, I'm talking about trouble. My nephew died. Brother Maccabee died. Brother Vaughn's children died. Brother Vaughn's boy got killed. Oh, it's trouble. But thank God, one day.
Yes.
Sister Susan's right on the verge of eternity. Thank God one day troubles will be over. I hope I ain't bored you. I didn't come to bore, and I ain't asking to reply to that. I'm just simply saying, thank God Jesus is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. I'm not. Hey, my brother used to tell me that I'm spending my life running up and down the road, killing myself, running up and down the road. I said, Bubba, I ain't spending my life. I'm investing it. Praise God. Praise God. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the way to be saved if you're going. He's the truth to be sure if you're knowing. And He's the life to be satisfied if you're showing.
Amen.
Amen. He's the way for direction. He's the truth for doctrine. He is the life for demonstration. He's the way. He's the way. He's the path. He is the truth. That's the principle. He is the life. That's the purpose. I just won't tell you all I can find outlines. I'm through. Notice this, there's a place, there's a promise. Verse 13 says there's a prayer. He said what? You can pray till you get there. Thank God we can pray. Look at verse 13. Look at verse 13. I feel happy, happy, happy.
Amen.
Verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Father. Thank God for prayer.
Amen.
He's the place. There's a place, there's a promise, there's a prayer, there's a partner. Verse 16. And I will pray the Father and He'll give you another comforter. He's called the Holy Ghost. I have somebody with me to bear my heavy load. I don't know, it don't go like that, but it don't matter right now. I have somebody with me to bear my heavy load. I put a new tune to it.
I like it.
Praise God. Thank God. Hey, we have a partner. Now, I done told this, Brother Gene Rao can tell this better than me because he done heard it so many times. And some of y'all done heard it, but I got to tell it one more time. I have a partner that took up residence in me called the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And He gifts me.
Yes, sir.
And he guards me. Yes. And He guides me.
Yes.
And so many years ago, I preached for Romney Mullins on a Sunday morning. You done heard it. So I preached for Romney Mullins on a Sunday morning. And I said, Brother Romney, I got to get back to my church Sunday night. And he said, Brother Willis, just come preach. We'll put you, give you, have your plate fixed. You can get in the car and head home because it's about three and a half hours home. And so I preached. We had a great service. I thought good service. Preaching wasn't much, but a good singing. And so had done a fix. We got in the car, headed back home. And I said, Mama, I said, I preached this morning. I got to preach when I get back to the house. So I want you, if you would you drive? And she said, okay. So I have a good wife. She got in there and started driving home. I can't explain how this happened. The Holy Ghost said, I want you to drive. We got down the road. Holy Ghost said, wasn't audible. Holy Ghost said, I want you to drive. So I punched my wife. I said, honey, pull the car over. She said, well, I said, I'm supposed to drive. You rest. You're going to need rest to spend this money that we're making out shopping. Somebody hit me right now. So, she started driving. She started driving. She got out and I started driving. I said, honey, kick the seat back and rest now. So, we're driving down the road. So, I can't explain this. The Holy Spirit said, if you see a church, I want you to stop. So we were riding down the road. I said, what do you mean by that, Lord? I mean, I'm talking to myself while she's sleeping. What do you? So we riding down the road, and all of a sudden I see a church up there, and it's got a bunch of cars around it. And he said, that's right where I want you to go right there. I said, Lord, you want me to stop there? He said, I want you to stop right there. I said, Lord, I got to get back to the... I'm like, Mom, and I got to tell the whole story now. I said, I got to get home. I got to preach tonight. He said, stop and go to church for them people. So I passed it. Holy Ghost said, go back to that church. It was that clear, Brother Robert. And so I turned the car around. My wife raised up. She said, what are you doing? I said, honey, I don't know. Just the Lord wants me to go back up the road. And so she looked. She saw the church with the cars around. And she said, and you know how those ladies are. You know you got that little thing you pull down, got a mirror. And she flipped the mirror and she started putting powder on, you know. And I said, honey, I'm telling you now, you need some darker powder than that white powder. This is the truth. This is the truth. So we pull up in the churchyard. I get out. That time I wore a hat. Amen. And so I put my hat on. My wife walked up to her. I said, sister, this is Sister Willis. I'm Brother Willis. I'm a preacher. I'm passing through. The Lord told me to stop in and worship with y'all. She said, well, come on in. And it was a little church, a little country church. Had aisles on that side, aisles down the middle, aisles on, pews on that side, pews on that side, all down the middle. And so we went in about halfway, sat down, and they singing. And you know how our black brethren sing. They sing a whole lot better than us white people. Yeah. And they bust through and well, you know the Lord been good to me. You know the Lord. I stand there, God, he's been good to me too now. If I believe in reincarnation, I come back a black preacher. Seems like they have a whole lot more fun at it than we do, amen. And man, they singing. I am telling you, they singing, man. And so the deacon gets up and the deacon says, I don't really understand this. Said the guest preacher's not here. And he said, well, he'll be here shortly. Let's sing another song. I don't know what they sung. Swing low, sweet chariot. I don't know what they sung. So they get through singing. And the deacon gets back up, and the deacon said, I don't really understand that the guest preacher hadn't got here yet. And about that time, the lady comes up the aisle by the wall between the pews, and she comes to me, and she said, Reb, she said, the deacon told me to come back here and ask you if you'd like to read some scripture and say a word or two till the guest preacher gets here. I said, yes, ma'am, I'd like to do that. I'm telling you, Brother Robert, dear God, I put it in low gear, buddy. I hit that pulpit, and I'm telling you, I give it everything I got. Them black folk jumped up and said, bring it on! And the deacon got back up, and this is what he said. He said, I'm telling you, I've never seen it like this. He said the guest preacher didn't show up, but he said God said. And by the time he got there, a little old black lady was sitting over here, and this is what she said. She said, Deacon, could I give a word of testimony? He said, help yourself, sister. She said, I'm 85 years old, and I've been serving God now for 50 years, and I've always found that God has got a ram in the bush. I said, I'm the ram! I'm the ram! That deacon got back up, and this is what he said. He said, I have never seen it like this before. He said, the black preacher couldn't get here, and God sent the white rabbi to take his place. Now, 3 hours up the road, the Holy Ghost knew that the preacher wouldn't show up and put it on my heart. Somebody help me right there. To take the place of the preacher. Only the Holy Ghost could have done that. And the deacon said, Reb, you are going to stay and drink Pepsi and eat cookies with us. And if you ever come back this way, you stop back in and worship with us. I said, whatever you say, dog. I got a partner. Just as he led, you know, I wanted since then, wanted every time I missed the sensitive leading of the Holy Spirit. Give him a track, witness to him, go to that house. Man, if we were sensitive, I'm talking about me, not y'all. If I was sensitive, wonder how much we missed. I don't know if I helped them people. I doubt very seriously if I helped them. I tell you who helped me. God helped me to know something in me can tell me where to start and where to stop.
That's right.
Hey, he closes out saying you can have peace, verse 27. Then he says this. He said you can have the peace of God. Let not your heart be troubled. He gives you peace. Hey, you got any troubles tonight? God wants to give you peace. God give you a partner to get you there. Amen. Got any trouble tonight? Bring them to Jesus. Let's stand. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this great congregation, this great church, for the men of God and the people of God. Lord, use these feeble words and efforts tonight to speak to hearts. Lord, I really didn't come to try to entertain people. I'm just thank God I got a promise that Jesus is coming to get us. Lord, I praise you for that tonight. I'm glad I know a little bit about it. I don't know much about it, but I know enough to know that he has promised to do that. Help us now in our troubles. And Lord, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The preacher's coming. You obey the Lord tonight. Amen. Let the Lord help.